The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as a listener.
This month, our Wednesday service, we're on the series Divine Health and Longevity. And the very first week, Pastor began to tell us the important fact about divine health. And he said that good health is your right in Christ. The Bible made us understand that Jesus died because of us. And then before he died, the Bible says that he was wounded. He was beaten. And all of that is for our healing. So Jesus purchases for us. So therefore, we have the legal right to live healthy. We have the legal right to live. You need to know this. Because if you do, this is the foundation for a long life and longevity. You know, some years ago, as a new student, I was invited to Winner's Chapel, and that was my first time in Winner's Chapel. And the pastor came. When the pastor came, the pastor was ministering. Let me say, that's the first time I would see a man of God talking like that. He preached the word with boldness and with confidence. And you know, the reason why I say it's with boldness and confidence is because he was talking about sound health. And he began to boast. And you know, my small-mindedness then was like, why is this pastor boasting like this? Praise the Lord. I was like, why is he talking like this? And then he said, I cannot be sick. You know, Papa, you know how Papa is talking. I cannot, they've never born that devil well. I cannot be sick. And you know, then I used to fall sick. And I was like, from which planet did you come from? And then, so, but before he said, for the past 15 years, I've never taken paracetamol. Wow. So when he said that, I was like, is this impossible? Something break loose in my heart. No wonder Jesus said, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? There is no need for you to go and kill on deliverance, on the deliverance line. All you need is to get the truth. As I heard that, it was as if something hit my heart. And then maybe something is blocking me, something somewhere. That is just, you know, disappear. How was I? So we began to talk about Papa, you know, Bishop Oyedepo, how, you know, living healthy and setting an example. I got back home, I could not sleep. I was just thinking, and I mean, that word keep coming again. Is this impossible? Is this impossible? But you see, he knew that, I mean, he knew what he knew because he was able to find out in the world what Jesus made available for us and how to keep it. So if you will understand this fact, believe me sincerely, you will live long and get, you know, find out in the world. Just like Pastor has taught us many things that will help us. If you can find out and live by it, you will live healthy. And that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. Bible also said that sickness is not from God, it's from the devil. Sound health is from God. Why sickness is from the devil? We also say that there is nothing wrong in medication, in taking medication, there is nothing wrong in it. But you see, but medication is an avoidable waste. And if you can avoid it, it's possible. If you are sick, if you are placed on medication, take it. Nobody is saying that you shouldn't take it. Nobody is saying that you shouldn't go to hospital. Of course, go to hospital, go and find out what is wrong with your body. Then you can know how to pray right. Praise the Lord. And if you are giving, maybe they recommend you for injection or whatever, even if it is operation, if your faith cannot carry it, all right, your faith cannot carry not to be operated, go for it. There is nothing wrong. It is God that gave them the wisdom. Hallelujah. Never you think that the field of medicine is a field that comes from the pit of hell, or maybe they are trying to replace God in our life. No, thank God for all our doctors and nurses and medical practitioners that God has given the wisdom to understand what is going on, what's going wrong with your body. They can provide some things that will help us. So there is nothing wrong with taking medication, but you see, medication is an avoidable weight If only you know what to do with the word. Praise the Lord. Also, sickness is not for you. It is for your enemy. Just like Pastor said, that it is not for you. It's for your enemy. Say, sickness is not for me. Can I hear you? Say, sickness is not for me. It's for my enemy. Of course, the second week was our anniversary. And last week, when I say, Papa continued to tell us how to make the word of God work for your health. How to make it work for us. And the first thing he told us is to go on search for the word. We search the word. What are we to do? Then meditate on the word. And then when you get the word, you believe it. Believe it, you meditate in it. When you meditate in the word, get down into your heart. Get down into your body. Get down into your spirit. Get down into every part of your body. Because the word of God is healing. And then he said that we should also act on the word. I pray that God will give us the grace to be the doer of this in the name of Jesus. Today, by the grace of God, we continue in part 3, which is the concluding part of this series. And the topic is lifestyle for total health and longevity. Lifestyle for total health and longevity. Lifestyle. What are the lifestyle? There are some people, ignorantly, they develop a lifestyle that destroys their health. They develop a lifestyle that destroys their health, and they don't know. Some even know. But to live that kind of lifestyle becomes difficult because they've been addicted to that type of life. They've been conditioned to live like that. But you see, the pattern of the word of God is that when the word of God comes to you, it shows you, you know, the Bible says that thou will show me the path of life. Thou will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And by this right hand, there is what? Pleasure forever. So, that is a path of life that we are to follow. And it's all documented in the word of God. So, we are going to look at the lifestyle that we can cultivate to make us to live a healthy life. There are things that you must do to really enjoy a healthy life in order not to come to the attack of sickness. There are things that you must indulge. There are things that you must live. There are things you must avoid. And there's a new way of life that you must live. Even those who have serious sickness, when they go to the hospital, for them to maintain their health, doctor, we have to prescribe from them and tell them some certain kind of food they must avoid so that they can maintain their health. You see, before their health got deteriorated to that level, if they had known the better lifestyle, it would not, the story would have been different. So that is why I thank God for you that you are here to get to know things that will help us to live a better life. Please go with me to the Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. Somebody say, wow, Songs of Solomon is a romantic book. Of course it is. Hallelujah. You know, some people just read the Bible. When they want to toast ladies, they will go to Songs of Solomon and they look for words. Hallelujah. Look for words. It's okay. There's nothing bad in it. Anyway, if you don't abuse it, praise the Lord. Okay? Now, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. I will read from verse 13 to 15. The fig tree putteth forth a green field, and the vine with the tender grape with a good smile. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 14. Oh, my dove, thou art in the... Oh God. Verse 14. Oh my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the sticky places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Hallelujah. In other words, this lady has a nice facial expression. Now, when you look at, when you see her, you know, get you relaxed. He said, come to me. The voice is sweet. This is the lifestyle that this lady was living. But you know, where I'm going is verse 15. So we are not talking about relationship now. Now, he said, take horse the forces and little oxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. Our vine have tender grapes. Now, there is a picture of a garden, and in this garden, there is a vine there that produces grape. And you all know that it is not the root actually that produces the fruit, but the branch. But you see, for this tree to continue to blossom, for this tree to continue to bear fruit, he said something has to be done. All the little foxes must be taken away. All the little foxes. If not, those little foxes will destroy it. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes we don't know, or we trivialize little things. Those little things are more dangerous than we can ever imagine. Seemingly insignificant thing can cause grossly disproportionate damage. It can damage many things. And you see, it is the reason why sometimes we don't even take cognizance of our feelings or of our thoughts, because we trivialize them. We don't see them as something important. We don't even see them as, whereas those things are actually raw material to which things are created. Let me take you back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was no devil. We got to know about devil in chapter 3 of Genesis. Am I right? Am I right, Bible scholar? All right. So, but the world that God created, something happened. It got destroyed. So God wanted to create things. So actually, Genesis chapter 1 is not really the story of creation. It's the story of recreation. Because in verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we move to verse 2 and say, and the world became what? Eh? The world was without form and what? Void. You know, that is one of the bad English in the Bible. How on earth can you say something is created and that which is created is without form and void? It will make no logical sense when you say Ebenezer created speaker and this speaker is without form and void. How can something tangible becomes void and without form? But that tells us that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Yes. There were years and some activities happened. That is not where I'm going anyway. Now, God wanted to recreate those things because the world he created, the Bible said that, the Bible made us understand that the world that he created was not empty. He didn't create it to be empty. Something happened. All right? So, he destroyed that world. I wanted to recreate. Now, what are the things that God used to create? The Bible says, and God said. So, God said. So, we saw that the material to which God used to create things is words. Praise the Lord. It's words. But you see, you don't know that every time you talk, you are creating something. Every time you speak, you are creating something. There is this popular jargon that people might say abracadabra. Praise the Lord. You know, when they want to do film, they want to do professor, say abracadabra. You see, there is nothing abracadabra in abracadabra. You know, do you know the meaning of abracadabra? You can go and Google it. You see, the word abracadabra means I create as I speak. It's a Greek word. The word bara means to create. Baka means words. I create as I speak. What you don't know is that you don't know that every time you speak, you are creating something in the realm of the spirit. And then, every time you engage your imagination, something is being created. You are creating something. The question you have to ask yourself is, what exactly am I creating? What future am I creating for myself? And you see, this lifestyle we are going to talk about today, if only we can avoid, there are some of them we avoid, and there are some we cultivate that will help us to live a healthy life. And then very quickly, we are going to look at lifestyle to avoid. In order to escape sickness, what are the lifestyle we have to avoid in order to escape sickness? Number one is the lifestyle of fear. Fear. If you want to live a healthy life, we must reject fear. We must do away with the lifestyle of fear. We must do away with fear. Fear, the Bible said that there is torment in fear. Fear can hold people in bondage. Fear can destroy destiny. Fear brings sickness. You see, this is, let me tell you this. There are some, you know, some years ago I got a book written by a doctor, and the title of that book is What You Don't Know Will Be Killing You. What You Don't Know. I want to recommend that book for you. Go and buy it and read it. What You Don't Know May Be Killing You. And then in that book, the man of God there, you know, mentioned some, there is a chapter he dedicated, he said, deadly emotions. And he listed some of those emotions. I see fear is part of it. Now, you see, let me tell you, I want you to have a different perspective about fear. Fear or negative emotions like worry, like anger, like hatred, like jealousy, like bitterness or forgiveness, all those negative emotions. They are the agents, they are satanic agents trying to get your attention in order to make something happen. So let's take fear, for example. Fear is a satanic agent, is the agent of the devil sent to get your attention. Once it gets your attention, then it will now open door for something to happen. Fear opens door for all sorts of evil spirits to come in into your life. It opens door for sickness. For example, if you were called, just like Pastor said on Sunday, hey, you must not travel. Oh, you must not sleep. Oh, you must do this. Oh, you mustn't do that. Oh, you mustn't do that. Oh, as they heard it, you know, those things are spirit. Instantly it will come because it takes advantage of every opportunity. It comes. And what is it? We must not do it. It begins to push its fear into your heart. Because if you now embrace it, it will come in. And you see, it never works alone. Once it comes in, it opens door. So other things will be coming in. Then accidents can come. Then headache can come. Then malaria can come. Then fever can come. There are all sorts. High blood pressure can come. Heart attack can come. Stroke can come. Ulcer can come. Because of fear. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, or you don't believe what I'm talking about, please, when we get to heaven, ask Job. Job will tell you that those things that I greatly fear has happened. Praise the Lord. Fear. 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 And that is why God has to tell us not to be fearful. That is why God tells us, fear not. Fear not every day. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 27, the Bible says, in verse 26, it said, don't be hungry. Say if you are hungry, he said, don't sin. Now, in verse 27, he said, neither give place to the devil. Can you see now? So, meaning that, go back to verse 26. Please, can I get this TV turn on? He said, be ye hungry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, after that verse, you discover that there is a semicolon, meaning that he hasn't finished. Now, in verse 27, he said, neither give place to the devil. So, meaning that hunger give place to the devil. Because when you have these emotions or this lifestyle, it opens doors. He takes advantage of you. A lifestyle of fear attracts sickness and diseases. It destroys life. It destroys destinies. If you, now let me show you some example. A man called Mr. Fu in 1 Samuel chapter 25. If we begin to read from verse 1, David ran out of the palace. And when he ran out of the palace, something happened. He went to a bush and he was hiding with his men. And when he was there, there was a man who has many servants who are tending his sheep. And he helped them to protect them. Because he was a warrior, was a fighter, so he helped. And then he got to a time, this man was hungry. And his fellow men, he was hungry. I said, but your guy is a rich man. So please, where is the sergeant so and so? Please go to the house of this man. Go and tell him that we are the one taking care, protecting him in this environment. Let him please give us some food so that we can eat. When he got there, he met Mr. Fu, and then Mr. Fu replied him rudely. He said, "Who is David? Do I have anything to do with him? Hey, who is David? What? Cause do that mean Bisheron?" And you see, he came back. You know, when somebody is hungry. You know, when you are hungry. David was so hungry, and when he came with the hunger meets hunger in him. Because that was the only hope they have to eat. I said, so you mean that everything I'm doing here, I'm doing in vain? I said, see, go back, go and tell him. But by tomorrow, everything he has, I will kill everybody. So, as they come, thank God he has a good wife. The wife met him. You know the story. And he appealed. I said, don't worry, sir. I will do it. He quickly ran. Sir, please just forgive me. He's a Mr. Fool. He has wisdom. All right? And that night, that man hurt. The food that he also has given David and his men, only him hurt it. And the Bible says his heart was merry. In other words, he was drunk. So the wife came back home. When he came back home, he wanted to deliver the message, but he noticed that, the man is drunk. So he couldn't tell him anything. The following morning, we can go home and read it. The following morning, he told him, he said, do you know what he done? Do you know Mr. David? Don't you know that man is a warrior? Don't you know he was the one taking care? You send that kind of message to him? God saved you. He wanted to come and destroy. When, the Bible said that his eyes was open. Did I say that? And, when he heard that, fear came in. And you see, and all fear came, the Bible said that the man died. His heart, the Bible said his heart died. I think verse 37. His heart died. In other words, he suffered heart attack. That was the first man to suffer heart attack in the Bible. Praise the Lord. What happened? Fear bring heart attack. And, see, and medically, it has been proven that fear can result because fear, through fear, comes ulcer, cancer, heart attack, heart failures, all sort of heart diseases can come through fear. So this man died. His heart died. Fear can turn. That was the time, this issue of Ebola everything. When that thing happened, that is when you will know fear, how terrible fear is. You have a friend, both of you are together, you hold your hand, you shake hand, you hug, you eat, you do everything together. But when Ebola is introduced, you can't even shake him anymore. Eh? You can fear. You can't even hug. So they divided him and say Ebola greeting. Like this. You can't even shake. Praise the Lord. But you see, when all of those things vanish away, we come together. Can you see how fear can destroy life? So you can even put enmity between people. Fear. I heard a true life story of two women who went to a hospital. One of them is cancerous and the other one is not. So when they do the test, there was a mistake. So Mrs. A is the one that has cancer. Mrs. B did not have cancer. So when they do the test, they now take Mrs. B's test to Mrs. A and Mrs. A test to Mrs. B. And then when they got the test, both of them could not understand. So they meet up with the right person, and the right person told them, this is the problem with you. We examine your body. You have this, you have that. When the woman heard that, instantly the feelings comes. So, and they begin to tell him, everyone that has this kind of disease will die in so time. She accepted that, and she goes home. And then every night she could not sleep. Imagine, You see, to call a long story short, at the end of the day, the one that has truly have cancer, that got the result of no cancer, were healed. She was healed. And the one that didn't have cancer but was given the result of a cancer, she actually got a cancer and that cancer killed her. See, this is a true life story. That cancer killer feared. She feared, and because of that fear opened the door for cancers to come into her body. I want to pray for somebody that every form of fear around you to hold you in bondage is destroyed in the name of Jesus. It is why 1 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says that God is not giving us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sound mind. Reject every fear. It is true. Your dad, your mom, or somebody in your family may have had that terrible sickness. And it is true, they might say that, oh, this thing is hereditary. But you see, what is more truer than that truth is that you have been healed. And that God can make you whole. It is assured. It is more surer than the discovery of that sickness. So, which report will you believe? They tell you, oh, something is wrong with your tummy, something is wrong with your womb, you know, this kind of thing is going to happen. And that, believe the word of God that says that no one will be barren. Let me say again what pastor said. We are not telling you to go and be rude to maybe doctor or nurse or whoever, or the lab attendant and give you a report or anything. Just take it and say, oh, thank you. Appreciate them for the work they've done. But you go back to your house, go back to your corner and table it before the door and tackle it and get it solved. Praise the Lord. Don't allow fear into your life. I pray that God Almighty will give you the strength you need in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number two is hatred. 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 In Job chapter 5 verse 2. Job chapter 5 verse 2. The Bible says something that is very, very profound. I'd like us to read it. For wrath killeth the fool. Foolish man and envy snared the silly man. You see, there are two types of people here, the fool and the silly. The Bible says that what killed Mr. Fool is wrath, anger. And anger is an offshoot of hatred. And because he has no wisdom, say, this man, he will die. See, when we have hatred in our hearts, hatred, you know, we breed anger. And also bring jealousy. It is why you should not have hate anybody. You know, 1 John chapter 3, if you begin to read, I think verse 14 to 15, the Bible tells us that if you hate your brother, you don't love God. So we know that we are passed from death unto life because we have love unto one another. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. So when you have hatred in you, the Bible calls you a murderer because something is going to die. And it might even, if you resort to jealousy, it will make you to kill that person. Hatred. Don't have one single person in your life that you will hate. There is no justifiable reason to hate anybody. There is no justifiable reason to hate anybody. Don't say, oh, I just hate him. You see, when there's somebody you hate, when that person comes, even if you are happy, the moment you see that person, your countenance will change. Your mood will change. Your words will change. Your attitude will change. You become so hostile. You don't want to even hear him. You don't want to even hear her. Whatever he says, you condemn. Because this hatred is there. The hatred is there. And you see, it's a poison because... And if that person is releasing you, you begin to release it to others and begin to poison others. When we hate others, that emotions will trigger something, will release a chemical and endorphin in our body that affects our organs and it works with our heart. And that can bring a lot of issues. We can have issues with heart diseases, like heart attack, because panic will enter. If you harbor hatred in your heart, one thing is sure, that you are totally disconnected from the life of God, according to the scripture that we read. And that is why we must ensure that we guard our hearts, to ensure that we don't have hatred in our heart. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. If Jesus had had all forgiveness in him, or hatred, or bitterness, or whatever, what is negative, his death will have been waste. Because he will not be qualified to carry away our sins. For our sins to be carried away, a sinless person is required. And when he was about to do that, the devil came to search his heart to see if there is anything in him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hatred, we must do away with it. And then number three is bitterness. Bitterness or unforgiveness is also a lifestyle that we must do away with if we want to live a life of sound health and longevity. The Bible is very clear in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. If you go home, you can read it. Saul was so bitter about David and God. Can we get it? Verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter. Yeah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. When this king became bitter about this man, the Bible says that the Spirit of God departed from him, and the evil spirit comes. And when that evil spirit comes, what did he do? He began to trouble him. He lost his peace. He lost his control. He lost his emotions. He could not even think right. He could not even act right. He became prejudiced. He cannot even see around. He can't even think right. The spirit troubled him. Just like when you have bitter unforgiveness in you, you discover that things are not going right. If you are sensitive enough, you know that things are not going right. Because the one unforgiveness or bitterness do is to you, to your heart, is to block your spirit from accessing the Spirit of God. That is why the Bible made us to understand in Mark 11 from verse 25 to 26 that when you come to pray, he said, forgive anyone that offend you, so that your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Because unforgiveness or bitterness is a blocker. It's a blocker. So I want to appeal to you, if you have anybody in your heart, please release them for your own good. Release them so that you can live a healthy life. A doctor, in that book, the author said, whenever I want to treat cancer, there's some certain cancer that when he wanted to treat them, treat the person, the first thing he's going to do is to consult me, do a counseling. Find out who are you having grudges with? Who do you have in your heart? Who do you need to forgive? Because most times, unforgiveness will hinder the healing of that person. And he said sometimes, he said amazingly, most of them, when he talked to them and they could release whoever that is offending them or whoever that has offended them, if they can release it, naturally that cancer will disappear just by itself. So we need to ensure that we don't have bitterness in our heart or unforgiveness in our heart. You know, Pastor said, if you are bitter, things cannot be better. Health cannot be better. If you have migraine and you want healing, you have, you know, maybe ulcers or typhoid or whatever, and then you have bitterness in you, or you are fearful, or you are full of hatred, and there's hunger in you, and you expect that your health will be better, maybe you are mistaken. What you need to do is to release whoever that is offending you. And I pray that God Almighty will give you the privilege to release whoever is offending you in the name of Jesus. Please, I take God to beg you, if you want to live a long life and a healthy life, I plead with you tonight to please walk in forgiveness. You see, we are all different. And like they say in my place, that the grace that we cannot walk and the head will not shake. The tongues and the mouth, they fight. All right? Okay, so praise the Lord. So there is no how we will meet and we will not offend each other. We will maybe deliberately or not deliberately. But you have to maintain your composure and know who you are, that you are a child of God and you are not permitted to harbor evil. So whatever, anybody or anyone offend you, instantly find a place in your heart to forgive that person. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. All right, so a lifestyle that promotes health, very quickly, number one, is a life of service to God and humanity. lifestyle that promotes good health. A life of service to God and humanity. A life of service to God and humanity. Exodus 23:25-26 tells us that when we serve Him, that we take away sickness from us. So a life of service in the house of God, you know, promotes good health. It promotes good health. And see, good health is one of the reward of service in the kingdom of God. When we serve God, God is the one that service us. He services our health. He services us. He gets us. You see, I wish that you know the importance of service in the house of God. I wish you know some certain things that God is taking care of that you don't know, you don't see, don't even think of. When we serve God, using our strength, using our energy, using our money and finances, and all that God has given us to serve in the house of God. Number two is a merry heart. You know, this one, Papa talk a lot about it. It's a merry heart. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible is so clear that a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drains the bones. A merry heart do good like medicine. You know, somebody carried on a research based on this verse of the scripture. He's a medical doctor. I want to know, is the Bible true? And he found out that the Bible is true. He found out that the Bible is true. A merry heart. The Bible says do you know what he does? Don't go without doctor in our midst. Doctor will tell you that, you see, our body releases chemicals into our body. There are some chemicals that release into our body to help us to live well. When you feel good, see, your brain will release the chemical, which is endorphin, and then it makes your body to relax. And then you just feel good. And you see, next to it is what doctor, I don't know what they call him, like painkiller. And when you have pain in your body, you will take painkiller. It releases those chemicals into your body, and those chemicals will go. Now, that doctor find out in this scripture, that you see, what merry heart does is that when we are merry, we are joyful, the body release all things that can kill, you know, it will kill all the pains, kill all the worries, kill everything. And you see, and it is on this philosophy that one time worldly singer sang a song. I said, I will chop the head of my life because I don't know tomorrow. Say, I will chop the head of my life today because I don't know tomorrow. Praise the Lord. It's on this, you know, that's philosophy. You can't work without philosophy because you know that tomorrow is bright and you own tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Alright, so if we want to live a long life, we need to be purposely make yourself happy if nobody makes you happy. If no situations, condition makes you happy, purposely make yourself happy. When last did you laugh? I don't mean smile. Smiling is good. You can smile. It's okay, it does good to your body. But I mean laugh. As in, hearty one. That you laugh and you lose consciousness. That you almost roll on the floor. Like a baby. You, after you finish laughing, 10 minutes, you are still not recovered from it. You are still laughing. Lose control. See, that kind of laughter releases some things in your body that make you to stay young. It makes you to stay healthy. It makes you to live long. It destroys sickness. It is an auto-energizer. It makes life look simple and looks fresh. If you will commit yourself to life, in the face of trouble, in the face of challenges, in the face of persecution, you are still smiling, you are still laughing. That is what gets the devil to go back to the pit of hell. He will just say, Nero, no at all. I'm done with you. You just go. When devil confronts you with all sorts of jargon, all sorts of trouble, don't panic. Just look at the devil and just laugh. You laugh just with knowing that the devil has failed. Praise the Lord. See, try it. Maybe you are weak. Make yourself happy. Just Look at yourself in the mirror. Ah, you are fine. Wow. Hey, look at your head. Just talk to yourself and make your... See, if you do it, strength will come. Test it on Sunday. Come and tell me that it is true, because I know that it is true. I've done it before. Praise the Lord. You just look at yourself. Ah, what is the handsome guy? Look at yourself. Ah, hey. You just make yourself happy. Just talk yourself into the joy. If you see, it is why the pastor told us that there are some messages you mustn't read. There are some messages you don't know. When as they are saying it to you, you stop them. I don't want to hear this. Because you see, they are poisons to our health. Praise the Lord. And finally, it's a righteous life. Righteous life. We live a righteous life. When we live a righteous life, we enjoy long life and sound health. I've said it before, as a teenager, I don't know how I came about that conclusion, but I know that it's the Holy Ghost that actually helped me. I just came to the conclusion that everything that God told me to do is for my own good. Everything that He tells me not to do is for my own good. After all, what will God benefit? When He say, don't convert, when He say, don't commit fornication, I mean, did He have a wife that I want to connect? No. But it's for my own good. When He say, don't steal, after all, He owns the universe. You understand? So, everything He told us to do, when we say forgive, He say be happy. All of that is for our own good. Because He wants us to live a healthy life. He wants us to live a sound, He wants us to be sound and healthy, because His plan for us is to live longer. You know, they told us that the last span of a Nigerian, for me, forget that data, because it's not for you. Hallelujah. The child of God will live long. And you are the child of God that will live long. I pray that God Almighty will help us in the name of Jesus. Don't abuse substances. Don't go into drinking all sort of, you know, drugs that, you know, destroy your health. Don't go, all sort of rubbish things. Don't do it. There is no use. There is no use for it. There is no use to live a righteous life. And when you live a righteous life, the life of God in you will give you the sound heart and sound mind in the name of Jesus. Sin is a reproach. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 34, but righteousness exalts a nation. I see your heart getting better and better every second in the name of Jesus. I see somebody with migraine living right now in the name of Jesus. I see somebody with weakness. I declare that as you are leaving this tabernacle, you are dropping it in the name of the Lord Jesus. What troubled your parent, what troubles everyone around you in your family will not trouble you in the name of Jesus. That sickness is vanished forever and forever in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, can you say believing? Amen. Can you please rise to your feet this evening? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to just open your mouth and bless the name of the Lord for the word of God that we hear tonight. Say, Lord, I'm so grateful. Bless Him. Give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. Return praise to Him. Let's thank Him for the word we hear. Let's thank Him for His plan and His purpose for our life to live a healthy life. Give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. Lord, You are worthy. Lord, You are worthy. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. You are worthy. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Can you say, oh Lord? Say, oh Lord. Let every spirit of fear. Can I hear your voice? Say, let every spirit of fear lose their power over my life. Open your mouth right now and declare it in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, I declare that every spirit of fear lose their power over my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Every spirit of fear locking at my door to enter, I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every spirit of fear putting God's people in bondage, I cast you out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we do not receive the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. From now onward, we begin to exercise the spirit of faith, of love, and of sound mind in the name of Jesus. The spirit of fear disappear right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Say, I declared. In the name of Jesus, I say, I declared that the spirit of hatred and the spirit of bitterness Catch fire in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord God Almighty, I declare that the spirit of hatred and bitterness catch fire in the name of the Lord Jesus. I flush out every spirit of bitterness. I flush out every spirit of envy. I flush out every spirit of unforgiveness. I flush out every spirit of hatred in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, you are out in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will not trouble me again in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. Say, I want you to pray that prayer this way. Say, I stop the operation of the spirit of fear, hatred, bitterness, and unforgiveness in my life from today. Open your mouth right now and turn into prayers. The Bible says, whatever you bind here on earth, I'll be bound in heaven. Lord, I stop the oppression of the spirit of fear, of the spirit of bitterness, of the spirit of envy and hatred and unforgiveness in my life. I put a stop to it today in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Say, I reject all forms of sickness and diseases in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth right now and declare it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I reject all form of sicknesses and diseases in my life in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. Praise the power for consistent kingdom stewardship. Fall upon me in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and turn into prayers in the name of Jesus. Power for consistent kingdom stewardship. Fall upon me in the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, makayemo yondo sendele makataba. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fall upon me in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. I'm going to pray one last prayer, but I want to give somebody opportunity. If today you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus, or you rededicate your life to Christ, or you know that, you know that some things you need to do away with, and you know deep down in your heart that you have to deal with it, can you please raise your hands up? Just have 1 minute to do this. I will just pray with you. Just 1 minute. Anybody here? Anybody here? Want to rededicate your life, or you want to release some things? The things you don't want to do again, and you raise your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. If you are watching us and you want to surrender your heart to Christ, I pray that God Almighty will help you in the name of Jesus. I need you to just pray this prayer and say, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, accept me as your own. And if you've done that, I'd like you to please write us to this email address displayed on your screen. And we'll get back to you. I pray that God Almighty will bless you, even as you do that in the name of Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road in Loring. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.